Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're today continuing on with part three of how to have God's life living within you. Most people, almost everyone I know, doesn't know the Lord like I do. I met the Lord, and he showed me how there's no possible way that we can escape from His sight. There's no possible way that we can flee from His sight. If we go to keep our mind up in heaven, He's there. If we go and make our bed in hell, Psalm 139 says, He's there. Our very thoughts, He's aware of. He knows, not only aware of, but He knows what we're intending to think. He knows the words that are on our tongues, every single one of them. He knows if the words that we say are the truth or if they are lies. He knows why we're telling lies. He knows our intentions. He knows everything that we say and are going to say. And that's why I pray to Him to fill my mouth, especially on these broadcasts or whenever He desires to minister through me, that He fills my mouth with His words. Because I listen to different preachers, ministers, and I hear words that are not from the Lord. And that's why so many of them, the Bible says, they're going to stand before the judgment bar of God, and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do great and mighty works in Your name? Did we not heal people? Did we not cast devils out of people? Did we not do all these things?" And the Lord is going to say, "Depart from me, you wicked. I didn't know you. I never knew you." They preach the word, some of it, and then they didn't at all preach the word at the time that the Lord wanted them to preach it. And so they did great and mighty works according to people, but it wasn't the anointed word of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Spirit is what saves people and really heals them. And when people get healed in the presence of such preachers that don't know the Lord, by their faith, if they are receiving the words that they're reading from the Bible, they will, in some cases, be healed. If they really believe God and they're keeping the commandments of the Lord, they'll be healed every time, if it is the will of the Lord for them to be healed. I remember one time I was praying for one of the young men in our church. He was around 21 years old. And he had a wife that came into the church. And she was a beautiful girl. And he married her, and she began to lead him astray. And all of a sudden, he popped up with cancer in his brain, but no one could figure out what was wrong with him. We took him from one doctor to the other, and he just kept getting more sick all the time. And then finally he got so sick that he had a constant headache. And so we took him out to Victorville, California, and they gave x-rayed his head and found a tumor in it. And he was getting sicker and sicker while he was there. And I was praying fervently for him. And I said, "Oh God, don't let him die," because they said that the breath was leaving his body. And then he'd all of a sudden start breathing again. And the Lord came down on me, and it was like He put a loop around my heart. And He said, "Don't you want Brian to go to heaven?" And it was like every word He said was like somebody raking my heart with barbed wire. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I want him to go to heaven." he says, well, then stop praying for him to be healed. And I thought, that's one of the most astounding things I ever heard. And it was from the Lord. And so I stopped praying for him. And within 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, we were on the phone with the hospital, and some of our brethren were there in the room with him. And they were keeping us posted second by second, moment by moment. And he expired. He was gone. And so it was, the Lord told Susie, my deceased wife, who passed away 17 years after we were married, it was in 1982, April 8th, 1982, when she went on to be with the Lord. The Lord was telling her, if he would have allowed Brian to be healed, that that woman would have taken his soul to hell. So in God's mercy, he took his soul. Brian was our best piano player, and he was one of my very favorite people. He used to be, I don't drive because of my eyesight, but he used to drive me all over Los Angeles, and we'd talk about the Lord all day long. And he was really a good brother, but he was so much hooked by this beautiful girl that she would just mock, I found out later. And later on, after he died, maybe a couple months afterwards, she got married to another brother in the church, Ed Risha. And then he started, another young man started flirting with her. And she had Ed Risha's baby. And after Ed Risha's baby was born, she stayed around for a little while. Then she ran off with this other young man, and she's been gone ever since. She left her child, Benjamin, with us to raise. So she certainly was no good. She actually corrupted another young man. But Brian, the one who had the brain tumor, and the one that the Lord told me to stop praying for him if I wanted him to go to heaven. Now, this doesn't mean, this is the first one, the second time that the Lord said don't pray for somebody. Another one was when I first was saved, and Susie was taking me into different missions. Downtown Los Angeles was one of them. I went to the Sunlight Mission out on the beach, where Kenny Feldman's mission was there, and Sister Jerry's mission downtown Los Angeles. And right after the service, a bunch of people were saved, some of the winos, and I went down to pray with them and pray them through and to make sure that they were seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was a man down there, and I started going towards him to pray for him, and I felt the power of God, like the wrath of God coming down on me. He says, don't pray. And while he was saying, don't pray for this man, this black man yelled out, he says, Pastor, or don't, you can't be praying for me. He says, I've done blasphemed the Holy Spirit. There ain't no use for you to be praying for me. And the Spirit was coming down at the same time that those words came out of that man's mouth. So that was the first time that ever happened to me. And the second time was, of course, with Brian. And he died just 2-3 minutes after the Lord told that to me. And I told it to Susie, and she said, yeah. She said if God would have let him live, he would have fallen away, and he'd go to hell. And so in God's mercy, Lord wanted Brian's physical body to die, that his eternal soul would live forever in heaven. So where in this world, or in the universe, could we hide from the Spirit of God? The time that I was in the Beverly Hills office where the Lord first revealed himself to me in a super big way. He came down upon me and let me know how omnipresent, how ever-present he was all throughout my life. And I was totally unconscious to that fact. I had no idea that he was that powerful. He came down in that room where I was with several of the people that were an entourage that was following me around. It was an entourage that I made up to make it look like this singer that I was promoting was really somebody special. And Lord came down into the room, and I knew he was talking to me. He told me to stand up and tell the people in the room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again. And I just thought I was going crazy. And then later, you can receive one of my pieces of literature in that regard of how that happened and how I wasn't conscious of God, didn't want to be conscious of God, didn't think that there was any power to God. I just thought everybody lives and dies and that's it. We're here and then we're gone. But I found out that day after I started saying, well, I guess I'm crazy. I guess I'll get out of here. I guess I'll check into a private mental institution and do a few finger paintings or make wallets or purses or whatever they make in there, and then I would be fine again, just like other people that I heard that were there. But when I tried to get up, the Lord came down in, it seemed like all of his power, but it almost pushed me right into the carpet. I knew that he had, and his intelligence came down, his wisdom. I started getting fear, because a person that only the person that fears the Lord has wisdom. That's why the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. In other words, we're like so many cows or bullocks that chew grass out in the field until we begin to realize the wisdom, the actual intelligence, the high intelligence, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God. It came down so powerful and just flooded the room, and I knew that he knew every hair on everybody's head. He knew everybody's thought, even before they think it. I knew he knew every fiber of carpet in every place in the world. I knew he knew every blade of grass, because grass has life. Flowers have life. Every leaf, they all have temporal life, a life that's going to last for a while. But it's nevertheless, the life that's in every leaf or blade of grass, or every worm that's in the soil, or every fungus, or anything that's in the world, it only exists and has life because of God. God gives us all temporal life, and but he's the only one that, so temporal life means that a blade of grass may last a day, 2, 5, 10, 20 days, or maybe a month, and then it's gone. It's thrown into the fire. Same thing with flowers. Could last for maybe a year. Who knows? People that observe those things know that. Fish, fowl, animals, creeping things, birds. They all have temporal life, and so do we. Well, nowadays, we may last, most people last 40, 50, 60 years, and they're gone. But the Lord, when we accept him into our being, his spirit in us, gives us eternal life. There's something that turns our spirit into an everlasting spirit. And without the Lord living in us. So that's something that religion can't do. That's something that good deeds can't do. The Lord says our good deeds are like filthy rags. But when the Spirit of God enters into us, after our sins are cleansed away, we have eternal life. And anyone that thinks that they can escape the knowledge or the spiritual incredibility of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God, you're like a cow, or like some kind of a goat or an animal. God did not make us to be animals. We are humans. There's a difference, you know. We're not birds. We're not fish. We didn't come out of the ocean. But God fashioned us out of the dirt, and then he blew an everlasting spirit in us. And that spirit became temporal after Adam and Eve, after Eve's sin. And the only way that we can be united back into the life of God, for to have our everlasting life, the life that he has, and he only has until we accept it, is to come unto him and to be cleansed from all of our former sins, and then to have him enter us, the Lord Jesus Christ, in spirit with the Father, and God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, the full Godhead, enters into us. Well, the Lord, the full Godhead, had not entered into me that day. I was there doing a promotion for a singer. And when he came down, I knew that he knew every piece of sand, every particle of everything. I knew he knew not only that, but every molecule, every proton, every neutron, every proton, every kind of element there is in the entire universe, and not just on this earth, but everywhere in the universe. He knew every crater, every bit of sand or dirt or whatever it is in every crater. He knows the depth. He laid the foundations of the earth, the prophet Job by the Spirit said. And he asked Job, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth?" And, you know, if we're going to believe the gospel, the Bible, then we have to believe these things. The Lord knows the very hour that we were born and when we're going to die, and he knows everything that we did during the course of the time that we were alive. And to not believe that is that you're going to find out, all of us will find out when we stand before him. And you'll find out also if you read the Bible, because we're going to read a little bit of that from the 139th Psalm. Of how that David was aware of that, the psalmist David. But you say, well, there's 7 billion people on earth, 6 or 7 billion. How could he be aware? You greatly underestimate the power of God. God is not like man at all. He's aware of every cricket, every mosquito. And you say, that sounds ridiculous. That's only because your brain is so small. He knows every lice. If you have lice, he knows every single one of them on your body. Okay? He knows that you need to be deloused before you know it. Amen? All right, so, yes, he knows every lice. He knows every speck of dandruff. Not only your hairs, but every multi-millions or billions of fiber in your body, the makeup of you. And he knows when you're going to die. And he sometimes we can pray for people, and it works. They'll be healed. And sometimes we pray for people, and the Lord has rebuked me for praying for certain people, because God is a God that hears every word that comes off of our tongue, whether you're saved or unsaved. And he answers. And he certainly answered me that time. And Brian, by God's standards, went to heaven. He's there, and I would greatly love to trade places with him. And, because the Lord has shown me heaven, and he's shown me the he's let me hear the voices in hell crying, weeping, amazed that it's really there. The very minuteness of his word, every detail is correct. It's just even more, I knew that God knew everybody's situation in the room that was with us. There was attorneys in that room, my attorney and the attorney that wanted to invest in the singer that I was promoting, and his wife. And there was movie stars there that wanted to invest in this promotion that I was doing. And I just thought how utterly stupid these people were that they couldn't know this about God. And then it came back to me really fast that I was just as stupid as they were just a few seconds ago, just a few moments ago. I was just like them. And that's why the Lord has caused me to have mercy on all the stupid people in the world. All of you. Every single one of you. And that's why the Lord, you know, if this insults you, that's just too bad. Because I don't care if it insults you, because you need to be insulted. Because if you don't believe what God is, then you're like a cow. Dead. You're dead in your sins and trespasses, just like I was. I needed God just like you do. And I'm so glad that the Lord showed me these things, because I, honest to God, did not know them. And when I read the Bible, I know it's true, because people like the psalmist David, he knew God that way. God had come down upon him and talked with him and communicated with him. He communicated with Moses. He communicated with the Apostle Paul. He communicated with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And he threatened these prophets. I didn't know that either. I thought the prophets were totally immune from being threatened by God. But the Lord threatened me. And I thought, how could this be God? He just threatened me that if I didn't do what he said, he'd send my soul to hell. He'd kill me and send my soul to hell. I always heard that God was all love, and that he just pardons everything that we do. And so I didn't know that the Bible was the truth. I was just, you know, like many other of you people out there. So anyway, after this incident happened to me, and I did what he told me to do, I did stand up in the room and tell those people. And I really, then he told me that I wasn't convincing them enough. He showed me in a crystal blocks in front of me all the different major promotions I did in my life. Hi, this is the American Health Studios in Silhouette, Figure Form International, the world's largest chain of health spas, health clubs. Add more life to your years and more years to your life. Take 3.5 inches off your waist in just 2 or 3 months, and add you men an inch and a half to 3 inches on your arms, and so on and so forth. You join the American Health Studios, and you women join Silhouette Figure Form International. And he said, then when I started the selling of records over the air, hi there, this is Earl McDaniel with the most fantastic record offer of all time. 20 smash hits on one big album for only so much money. But you must act now. And this is, everybody's like copied that formula that I came up with then. And then the Lord said, now that you know that I'm here and that it's really me and that I know what I know, and I know all about you from even before you were born, what are you going to do for me? Aren't you going to convince these people? And so I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know what to say, except I had seen a motion picture entitled Elmer Gantry. I accidentally walked. I said, Elmer Gantry, that sounds like an old Southern guy, you know, and it might be a good movie. So I had nothing to do one afternoon in New York. I wasn't a movie person, but I thought, I'll go in and, you know, check it out. I was there for 15 minutes, and people were saying, Jesus, Jesus. And me being a Jew, that was like waving a red flag in front of a bull. And I heard him saying, oh, repent, repent, and believe the gospel. And I said, I'm getting out of here. And so after 15 minutes, I got out of there. But that is the only thing that I recalled. And the Lord was telling me that if you don't convince these people, they're going to go to hell. And then you're going to go to hell, too, if you don't do what I tell you. And I read in the book of Ezekiel where he threatened Ezekiel. And he threatened Moses. And he threatened everybody. The Apostle Paul said, if I don't preach this gospel, then I like all the people that are going to hell, I too will go to hell. I'll be a castaway as well. And so no one's getting off, no one gets off the hook. No one gets off the hook. God knows your heart. Maybe he hasn't dealt with you that way because he knows in advance, if he did, that you wouldn't do what he says anyway. And so maybe he just leaves you because maybe you're totally corrupt. I don't know. I don't know the mind of God. Why, until he said to me, don't pray for Brian. Don't you want him to go to heaven? I said, oh, Lord, yes. He said, then stop praying for him to live. And it was every word he said was like a somebody threw a loop of barbed wire around my heart, and then they pulled the barbed wire to where it stuck into my heart. Each word, don't pray for him to live. I forget the word, then. Then don't pray for him to live. I said, yes, Lord, it's frightened me as much as it did in the office. I never knew the personality, all the personality of God. We don't learn the full personality of God in one day. Many of you don't realize the personality of God like that either. And you may you blame God for the evil things that are happening to people on earth. God said that if people would do his will, then he would bless them. And if they don't, they would curse him. And he lists all the blessings for those that do what he says. And then and that put him first. Now, evidently, Brian was putting Gail first. And the Lord had to destroy his flesh in order to get him into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you put anybody or anything first before God, and you forget God, God says he'll tear you to pieces. That's the kind. That's the real God. Now, all these guys that are saying other things are the ones that are going to stand before the judgment bar of God and say, didn't we do great and mighty things? And God's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Go to hell. Okay? Because God values his word higher than his name. And anyone that perverts his word is cursed and condemned to hell. Now, you better believe that. Okay? Because that's really the Bible. All right? So don't try to think that God doesn't know if you believe or not. He made a believer out of me. I did not believe in God. And I did not believe in Jesus. And I didn't believe that there were people in hell. I didn't believe in heaven or hell. And I did not believe that God was good or bad or whatever. I just figured, all we're going to get in this world is what we get. And so get it while the getting's good. And retire and at least get a few years of happiness where you can live. I was going to get a home in this Italian Alps, and in maybe Rome or Venice, and one in Montana where I'm from, and one in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills. I just wanted nice places here and there. I didn't want to get any persecution for preaching the gospel. I had a Beatles album. I didn't. I knew I could sell that and make plenty of money, and enough for me, myself, and I to retire, and not worry about food or clothing or a place to live for the rest of my life. And then the Lord made a believer out of me, and then he showed me one vision, one dream, one sign and wonders, and so many other things that he's taught me through his word. I went around seeking different books to try to find what God wanted me to do after that happened to me, because he didn't tell me to read the Bible. And so I went to different churches, and I didn't hear anybody saying that God threatens people. And so I knew when I'd get into those places that it was the wrong place, that this place is not of the Lord. And I knew they'd say, I'd go to the Baptist church, and they'd say, God never threatens anybody. God's all love. I walked out of there. I said, these people don't know God. They don't know him. And so I knew that they were wrong. And I walked into the Greek Orthodox, if you want to call it church, Russian Orthodox church, all different ones. They're all preaching the same garbage that the Catholics were. Because I didn't see God. I knew there wasn't anything that's going to take away your sin, or that they're just not talking about the same things that God talks about. And so I knew they were not of the Lord. They don't know God. And I read all kinds of books. Some of the books had the cover had a picture of this guy with this pointed hat on. It had cats and moons and all kinds of stars and all kinds of things on it. And I opened up the first page. It was the book called The Prophet, and it says, God is love. And he just, you know, he says, watch the birds and the bees, you know, and they have sex with each other and all this kind of stuff, and just, you know, have a good time. And I said, that's for sure. This weasel that wrote this book is right out of hell, because this is not what the Lord. And said, God never commands people to do anything. He just, you know, lets you live your own life. I says, hey, that doesn't match up with what happened to me in that office. And I know that was the Lord. So I know this guy is like feeding people a bunch of garbage. And I read many books like that. I'd go one or two pages, and the minute I'd see that kind of garbage, I'd just throw the book down. Because I knew that God, I knew what sin was. When he came down, he said, I knew you, before the foundation of the world, and I knew all these things that you did. And he showed me free sex, free love, or what you want to call it. It's not love, it's sin. All the different sins I committed, he showed me. And so I knew the things then that I wasn't supposed to have done. And anytime somebody tells me that, I know that that's the voice of Satan. And I knew that if I knew God, and then I knew that when he said, either do it or you're going to die and go to hell. So I know that you can be saved. And I know that if you're saved and if you don't do what the Lord says, you go to hell. Because God told me that in person, right in person, my friend. And then I read it in the Bible that you're like a dog or a pig. If you don't do it, he says, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. And he also tells that if you do, that there's no more forgiveness for you. So if you want to believe these phony preachers and these phony teachers that want you to like them and want you to give money to them rather than the Almighty God, then don't think it's a strange thing when you stand before God that he tells you to depart into outer darkness and into the pit of hell and the lake of fire. No matter what you think you've done that was good in this world, I hear people saying they're good people. There's no such thing as a good person if you don't line up with what God says, you're not good. Okay? Well, I don't harm anybody. You don't help anybody, too. If you don't tell people about God, the real God, you're certainly not helping anybody. That shows you're unmerciful. It shows also that you're a coward. You don't want to suffer persecution. Do you know how much persecution I have suffered for preaching the truth? Do you know how many Christians have called me a cult because I'm preaching the true word of God? And do you know how many unsaved people have believed them? Now, you could call me a cult all day long. But if you're calling me a cult, then you're calling God, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit a cult as well, because I'm only preaching what they've shown me and what I see in the Bible. And anyone that sees anything other than that, you've got impaired spiritual vision. You don't have spiritual vision. You're blind. Now, I have not got good eyesight, physical eyesight, but I've got 20/20 spiritual eyesight. It's 20/20. And so is Ezekiel's. God threatened him. He threatened the Apostle Paul. He threatened Jonah. And he didn't do everything that they... And Moses he threatened. As a matter of fact, he was going to kill Moses once. And he was going to kill all the children of Israel. And Moses stood in the gap and called on God. God has his love, but he's also wrath if you disobey what he says. Well, I'm going to pray. The Lord wants me to pray now. He wants me to pray that he'll anoint the rest of this service. Father, I know that you're ever present, and I know that you have given me these words today to preach and teach. I've been in the ministry now almost 42 years, and so I'm qualified because I believe your word to the jot and the tittle, the last jot and tittle, and all, every jot and tittle, every detail of your word will happen, will come to pass until the very end of time. And I know that. And we're standing at the very end of time now. And these are your words. And these are your words that warn the people in the world. And Father, I pray that you will continue talking, speaking through me for the rest of this message. Give me the outward anointing inwardly so that the words that I speak are not mine own, but yours. You are the way, the truth, and the life. There's no one that can escape your sight. You're ever present with everyone and everything in this entire universe. I pray, Lord, that the things that you will say in this message today will cut through the most blind person's heart, just as you did mine. Do supernatural things to the people of Israel and to the people that you know will obey your every word, that this world may be evangelized. I know that you are not... And these people, Lord, that are dancing hoochie-coo and all this kind of stuff on these Christian programs, cut through to them. Cut through to the people that are so deceived by all the nonsense. I look at them and there's nothing that I can say to them. It must be you saying it through me. And I know how you are more than able to get make yourself known to whoever you please, because I had no desire to serve you, and I had no desire to seek you, and you caused me to do that. I ask, Lord, that you cause everyone out there that hears this word, these words from you, that you'll cause them to seek deeply for you, that their souls may be saved, because it's not your desire that souls are lost. Because you died on the cross. You died so that you'd have shed your precious blood, sinless blood, that people's sins could be, former sins could be washed away. And that your spirit would enter into them, giving them the power to be able to keep all the things that you tell them to do. You've done it with me. Absolute blind and rebellious type person. You did it for me. And if you did it for me, I know that you can do it for others, Lord. You are all power. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to you. All fear. You can put fear into everyone, Lord. Put the fear of God. And these people minimize it by saying reverence. fear is wisdom. Your word tells of how that people's flesh moved because of the fear that they had, that your word is so true that it will come to pass. I feared you in that office, that if I didn't do what you said, that you would kill me and send my soul to hell. And Lord, I feel you fear you to this day, and that's why I'm still standing. Still not afraid to take all the slander and the filth and the degeneracy that people sling my way, because I fear you far more than all that. And I fear you more than all the threats I've had from world government, the Catholic cult, and the news media, the slander they've put out on me. I fear you far more than that. That to me is so much trash. So, Father, I ask that you save souls and that you strengthen the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem. I pray that you do that, Father God, in the name, in the mighty name, thy mighty name, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Spirit. And amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we have some letters here from some of the satisfied customers of the Lord. Some people that have read the literature that the Lord has given me and believed it. And they've sent us letters. Let them praise me or anything, because I wouldn't have known these words unless the Lord gave them to me. And so all the praise goes to God for my salvation and your salvation, and for whatever these the salvation of these people that have written these nice letters. Where's the first one from?
From Imo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they say.
Dear Pastor Olamo, Calvary greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, how is the Lord's work together with your health? I believe that our prayers are reaching you. I want to use this medium to thank you once again for your concern towards lost souls.
I had no concern for lost souls at all. To me, the way I looked at people was like somebody that just walks on bugs. Now, these people say, I'm concerned for souls, and you better believe I am. But really, in reality, I'm so concerned about, if I don't be concerned about souls, I'm saving my own hide by being concerned about souls. And if you're not concerned about it, you don't know it, maybe, but you don't care anything about your hide. You don't care anything about your soul or your loved one's souls. So be concerned about others. Amen?
Amen.
And forget about yourself. I hear these ministers saying, well, you know, God will bless you. And if you do this, and God will give you a car. And if you do this, God will give you a wardrobe. And he'll give you enough money to send your children to school. I wouldn't send my children to universities if I had all the money in the world. Why? Because, you know, I know what goes on in universities, okay? Mm-hmm. I know all about that. Okay, so why would I send my own children into the pit to get their minds off the Lord? No, our minds are to be stayed on the Lord. Okay, then go ahead.
I am happy to inform you that I received the parcel you sent me in good condition, and the contents were a source of blessing to many souls. I also want to encourage you not to relent in your efforts, since you know that your reward is great in heaven.
Oh, brother, you don't have to tell me that. The fear of the Lord is on me. That's the jet fuel that I have to save my hide. And I pray that I'll win, through the Word of God, hundreds of millions, even billions of souls. But I know that it's a team effort. You know, I'm not a one-man force. The Bible says that we're a corporate body of Christians that are going to bring about the kingdom of heaven in this world, and that we need to pray for one another. We need to win people like those of you out in the world, those of you in Radio Land. We need to lead millions of people to the Lord so that there can be the greatest revival of all times just before the Lord comes back. But people's hearts are so hardened because of sin that it's just, you just don't see that true revival. I see people that have fallen away from the Lord that are believing a kind of gospel that really isn't the true gospel of the Lord. And the Bible says that if we preach any other gospel, then we see that the apostles wrote, or the prophets, that we're accursed. And so please, read your Bible. Don't listen to some of these people. Don't even, if you don't want to, don't even listen to me. Read to see if I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead now, okay? The Bible, the Word of God, is God. And God, if you're seeking Him, He will bless your efforts. He will bless your efforts. He's not just blessing people. He doesn't bless people when they give money. The money doesn't mean anything to God. God owns the universe. He doesn't need your money. You need to give to the Lord so that you can have money, but that wouldn't do you any good if you're not keeping the Lord's commitments. He's not going to bless you. You can't buy God. And these people are telling you, oh, just give money and God will bless you. That isn't true. You have to get saved. You have to have the Spirit of God living. You have to have all your former sins washed away, and you have to be walking in the Spirit and being learning the gospel so that you can win souls. All right, continue on.
Based on the condition that we find ourselves in over here, many people are coming to church without a Bible, and I am requesting for more Bibles and your literature in the English language. And I am happy to hear that you would like to send me an Alamo Christian Ministries t-shirt and sweatshirt. I would like to receive them. My size is large, and I prefer the white color. I also thank you for the taped messages. Yours in his vineyard, C. Ikeda, from Imo State, Nigeria, Africa.
By the time these letters get to us, they've already received their Bibles and literature and t-shirts and whatever. Those that distribute the literature, we let them have a sweatshirt or a t-shirt. We have in black, and some of them are in white, and we just got some that were several other colors, too. Okay, then what?
The next letter is from Ghana, Africa. Dear World Pastor, peace and love be with you in the marvelous name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. I hope my humble letter reaches your ministry. May it find you in the best of health and in our Lord's blessings. Please, sir, I quite appreciate the fact that this, my humble letter, is going to meet you as a big surprise because this is my first time of writing to your ministry. Please, I am a boy of 14 years who has sinned for about 2 good years, living a bad life. But as your ministry is still alive, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the help of our boy called Daniel, I am no longer a slave for Satan anymore.
Now, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ happens to be the power. Grace means power. When God says it's gracious to all those that repent, that means he's powerful to all those that repent. Some people think that gracious means like you take ballet lessons or something and that you do some toe dancing. No, grace or graciousness is God's power that comes down in your life if you believe and do what he says. It's not enough to just believe. If you really believe, you'll do what he says. Okay, then what?
Please, this boy gave me some of your newsletters and literature. In fact, Pastor, immediately when I read the newsletter, I changed instantly. In fact, Daniel is helping distribute your literature here in Ghana. Please help him to distribute the literature. He gave me the literature which has changed my life. Please send him more literature to distribute. Praise the Almighty God. I gave some of these newsletters to my sister Abigail. So, Pastor, we have both stopped what we were doing at first, and we are fully committed Christians. But, Pastor, one problem which worries me a lot is now my friends are still in doom, and I want them also to repent, to be what we are now. I mean what I and my sister are now. So, Pastor, I am therefore pleading with you to send me Holy Bibles and more of your literature to distribute to them, and also a copy of the Messiah book. Pastor, please try as much as possible to bring it in time for me to win more souls for the Lord. May the good Lord grant you this divine grace and mercy.
It's good divine power. And when we have the fear of God on us, we do have mercy when we're doing what he says. Then what else?
As you continue to expand the kingdom of God to sinners through you, so the Almighty God bless you materially and spiritually, and bless your ministry to win more souls for God, as Jesus Christ said. Hoping to hear from you soon, yours in Christ, Kelvin and Abigail.
Well, Kelvin and Abigail, you are also expanding the kingdom of heaven by writing such a letter and by desiring to get the gospel to your friends. You know, I can't reach everybody. There's many people that we win to the Lord, and they have a whole clique of friends. And when their friends see the change in their lives, then they really know that they're the only Bible, maybe, that they'll ever see in this whole world. Because we're, actually the Bible is the word, is God. And so they're the only God that they're going to see. Like Buster, he knew all kinds of people in, and all of us in the church, we know certain people before we were saved. And when we get saved, they may doubt what you're saying, but they're not going to doubt if they see you doing what the gospel says. And so in that way, you're the only Bible that they may ever see in their life. And if you are really a part of God, the Bible, they're going to get saved. Or at least it's for sure they're going to have a chance to be saved. So we need all of us, every one of us has different people that we can win to the Lord. But it's not going to happen just from words. They want to see that you've been entered into the hall of fame. That you're really in the Lord, in the body of Christ, and operating, that Christ is operating, living, operating, working in you and through you. And they'll see it. Words are, you know, you can tell people all sorts of things, but they'll seeing you, the change in you, is believing. And so we all must do this together. Otherwise, we're not... Just my voice would be ineffective without the actual, substantial, the substance of the reality of the living God, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, living and working in and through you. That's what saves souls. Okay, then what?
Next letters from Malawi, Africa. I am a pastor in one of the branches of Jesus Pentecost Church International, and I have a church library, and I request you a favor to send more of your Christian literature and cassette tapes for the gospel. Finally, I want you to send us a preacher here in Malawi anytime you can arrange. We need such a network. May God bless you. Signed, Pastor Mawaya from Malawi, Africa.
See, we get all sorts of these letters, but if you, you know, no matter where you're at in the world, God knows where you are, and he knows you're very, he's present right where you're at. If you get this literature and distribute it wherever you're at, then the Lord is there through our literature, all right? And so we get so many invitations to go everywhere that just we don't have that many people. We need to hold the post that God has given us here in the United States. And I hope, prayerfully, if God lets me go, I'll be there, brother, and... the force of the Lord, where you know, I'll come there in the power of God. All right, so is that all the letters?
Yes.
All right, so let's start reading whatever time we've got left. Only a few minutes, not much. So let's go ahead and start reading from How to Have God's Life Living in You. Go ahead.
Some of the other symbolic references to Jesus being the tree of life that we must eat in haste and drink for our...
Again, the tree of life. The fruit of it is the Word of God. So if we eat from the tree of life, that means that the life of God is in us. Every word has the Spirit of God, the life of God, the resurrection of God in it. So that's why it's so important to read every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God so that we have spiritual life in us. We need ordinary food for our natural bodies, but we do need the food from the tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life, so we need Jesus in us. When we ask the Lord to come into us, then he does come into us as a babe. He's born in us. We're born again of him, of Christ, of the Spirit. Christ has become the quickening spirit, or the life-giving spirit in us, and he wants to be fed in us, too, so that he grows to the fullness of his stature in us, to where we can not be a babe any longer, but we become a young boy or a young woman in the Lord, and then we keep eating more and drinking more of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, God himself, and then we grow up to be grown-up men and women in the Lord. And then later, we keep it up, and we become giants. Then God is fully grown in us, and we're soul winners. And this takes time, but God said he's going to do a quick work in these last days. Just give yourself over to the Lord completely and live and be happy for the rest of your life and throughout eternity. Well, this time has seemed to have gone by so fast. I see our time is up on this particular tape, and if you'd like to have a copy of it, it's tape number 104. Not only tape, but we have the CDs that you can get, and it's absolutely free. Don't you ever worry when you ask for anything. God gave me life and life eternally, more abundantly here and eternally, free of charge, and I don't charge. We will never charge you anything for anything we send you, all right? God blesses us back a hundredfold and even more than that. I can't even total it. It just happens so fast and furious. So now for you to have God's life living in you, I'll say this prayer. Don't you want God to be in you? He knows if when you're going to receive him. He knows if you're not going to. If you say not now, well, then you're saying no to the Lord, to God. And don't do that. Don't do that for your own good. Say this prayer to the Lord now and live. Say to him with all your heart and soul, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that I want to enter me now. And Lord, I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with your Father and by the Spirit. And I ask you to take all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. Lord, save my soul. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm calling on you, Lord, with fervor. And therefore I know that you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord now. Now, you've just heard tape number 104 or CD 104. And you can order them. Give us your name, address, and we're not going to solicit you or anything like that. That isn't it. We've got many souls that are requesting these things. We don't have time or the personnel to call you or anything. Unless you call us, then we'll talk and whatever. All right? So, until tomorrow, make sure you tune in tomorrow, which will be part four. We just didn't do very much of how to have God's life living in you, but the whole program was about that anyway. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, keep praying to God so that God will bless you. And so that, and keep praising the Lord so he'll bless you. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.